Think so? Well, brother, I'm impressed. If your son goes around repeating that song over and over, that is impressive. I had 10 kids, and all they went around repeating was something about some guy named SpongeBob SquarePants or something. They never were that spiritual to go around repeating a song like that. That's pretty good. Well, it's, I didn't know Independence Sunday, I guess, was this particular Sunday. But I learned something this past week that can be a little bit concerning. My son told me that he heard a news report where they had taken a survey of seniors in high schools across our country, and over 60% of them, when asked the question, why do we celebrate our Independence Day, 4th of July, they, over 60% of the seniors said, well, we finally won our freedom from France. So I think there's some concern in this country about what's being taught as education. And so, but I'm glad to be here today, and I heard that your pastor was able to be at his son's wedding yesterday, and so that's always exciting. I know I told him when he sent me the text and talked to me about being here this weekend that I'm doing the same thing next month with my second oldest son. We're going to get him married up, and so we're just sort of in the same boat at this time. Let me take just a moment and share with you. I'm not going to read these, but there's a couple of updates. You as a church, and I'm so grateful for it and thankful for it, supported my son, Cody, who left this about a month ago now, to go over to Lebanon. He's been over in Lebanon and Beirut and different places, the city of Tyre over there, and he's on a missions trip. He's trying to work with a group trying to reach boys and girls, children, refugee families, Syrian refugees, and he's been over there now for about 4 weeks. There are a couple of updates that he sent, and I thought if you guys would be interested in them, I'll leave these here. Since your church has supported him, then you could read those updates. He's very excited. He's got several pictures in there. He got his hair cut, so he'll look like the guys over there instead of the guys over here, because that's a big deal. And he's got a picture of four little stones that he's holding up, took a picture of that he got to get them out of the Mediterranean Sea. So he's very excited, and they've been reaching people over there. They've teamed up with several folks from Egypt that were doing some mission trips over there as well. So he's very excited about it. I'd be encouraged for you to read the updates. Maybe there's a place you guys could put them around here and keep an eye on them. But we really appreciate what you've done for him and sending the finances to him to support him. So everything that they're doing and accomplishing over there, is because of folks like you that care about missions and people in the world, and we're willing to support him. So I just wanted to say a personal thank you for that today, and let you know how much I appreciate it. Well, I want to talk to you today about what it takes to be successful. I'll be honest with you, I shared some of these thoughts with the Ottawa football team when I had the privilege to be able to talk to them this past season. Coach K invites me over there to share with them. And I tell you, brother, that's always one of the most exciting times, but also one of the most scary, because that's a tough crowd to walk into those guys. For sometimes it's been early in the morning that we've done it, and they're not awake. And if you've dealt much with teenagers or older, college students, they are not morning people. They are, for whatever reason, and they are, not always the friendliest crowd. But I always enjoy speaking to them because I feel like I've a chance to input something into their lives at that stage of the game. And so I enjoy doing that. And I went over there and I shared some thoughts with them of this idea of what it takes to be successful. And so I want to start by asking you a question this morning. And it's simply this: what does success look like for you? See, I want you to think about yourself this morning a little bit here. And I want you to answer that question. What does success look like for you? Not to you. Okay, not what success looks like to you, but for you. And when I was with the football team over there, I said to them the same thing. I know you want to be successful in the game. That's it. It was going to be played that day, and I was there, and I said, I know you want to be successful in the game, because something had happened the week before that they weren't aware of, and I didn't plan it. It just worked out this way. I was doing a job for some friends of mine that their house simply backs up to the football field where the team practices. And so I was in the backyard. I was working on building a deck for them. And so I was over there, and I heard what was going on at the practices. And I understood that they wanted to be successful, but I knew that for a fact because I heard the things that were going on the field. I heard things like the loving, gentle, almost whisper-like encouragements coming from the coaches as they were going through their practices. And I heard that. And I heard them running drills, and I heard like ball, 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 you know, fumble recovery drills and statements like do it again and do it again and get up and do it again. And you heard those kinds of things going on. So you knew that that team wanted to be successful because they were out there doing the things that they were doing to try to prepare for that upcoming time. And so I shared with them and I said, so I know that you want to be successful. And everything that's true about a football team or a sports team is also true in our lives. So I want to ask you, what about us? Spiritually, what about us? Those of you that are here today, see, I know that you want to be successful, just like that football team out there on that field practicing. I know you want to be successful spiritually because you're here today. And that's part of it. You're making an effort. You're putting forth the effort to be successful spiritually by being in the house of God and coming for worship and fellowship and all the things that takes place. So I know that you want to be successful, but what does success look like for you? What does it look like for you? I think personally it should include a closer walk with Christ, but that's just sort of my thought. So I'm asking you, does success look like for you? Is a good marriage what success would look like for you? What about maybe a new home? What about well-raised children? Would you say that is success? And then the story that Brother Hale shared this morning. Man, the boys and girls are precious, and they do need to be raised correctly. Would that show success to you in your life? What about catching up on past due bills? What about defeating cancer? Would that be what success would look like for you at this point in your life? What about bringing in the crops for those of you that are farmers and in produce? Bringing in the crops, that would be a success. What about dealing correctly with a wayward child? Is that what success would look like for you at this time in your life? What about you young people? Getting through another year of school, getting that next step, that next grade. What about the right girlfriend or the right boyfriend? What about being able to give more to your church or to your community? Would that look like success? If we could only do a little bit more, then I would feel that I've made it, that I've gotten there. What about moving into a better job? I know I talked to my son this past week. Michael lives up in Wisconsin. He's going for a job interview tomorrow. For him, that would be a success. He's excited about that. He'd like it to pan out well, you know. He'd like to move up. What about trying to get through a day without so much anger? Would that be a successful day for some of us? Because I know some of us struggle with that. So what does it look like? Not to you, for someone else, but for you. What does success look like? No matter what success looks like for you, there are some things that are needed to make it happen. And I want to share some of these things with you today, and you've got an outline, and it'll be on the monitor as well. But in order for you to be successful, whether it be in football or, you know, any sports or so on, but in life, certainly, it takes several things. Let me share them with you this morning, all right? First of all, I want you to know that it takes passion. It takes passion. Passion, and I'm going to give you some definitions, and I really encourage you to write this on the back of the outline, these definitions, because they're so compelling on the way that they come together with these words. But passion is this: a powerful or compelling emotion or feeling. It's a compelling emotion or feeling, a very powerful one. See, passion is what motivates us. Passion is what moves us. Passion is what drives us. When we become passionate about something, passion is what makes us want to get up in the morning and get going and get with it. When we have passion, you don't want to be on the sidelines. I said this to the football team. When you have a passion for playing the game, you don't want to be on the sidelines watching. You want to be in the game. You want to be making things happen on the field. You want to be making that crucial block or forcing a fumble or at this season of the year, you want to be hitting that ball or catching the out that wins the game. I mean, you want to be doing those things, hitting the home run. When you have a passion for something, you want to be involved in it. And you want to be a part of what's going on. And that's what passion is all about. If you're going to be successful, and we're talking about that this morning, if we're going to be successful, then in whatever you do, as you see success for you, then it's going to take passion. It's going to involve passion. You'll need to be passionate about your family. If a successful family, having a successful family, that's the goal for you, that's the look for you, then it's going to take passion. It's going to take passion about your family and about your marriage. You're going to be passionate about your job if that's what success is about. It takes passion in our relationship. You're going to have to be passionate about your health, your emotional well-being. You're going to have some passion in this idea of our walk with Christ or in our finances or in our Bible reading, in our prayer life on a daily basis. It takes passion. I want you to turn with me a portion of Scripture. We're going to look at several parts of it this morning. But it's over in 1 Samuel chapter 17. This is about David. And when you look at 1 Samuel 17 down in verse 26, it says this. And you guys all know the story. It's David and Goliath when he's facing the giant. David asked the men who stood near him, "What will be done to reward the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the shame from Israel?" He's just showed up as a kid. He's saying, "Listen, what's going to take place? What's going on?" And he says, "Who does this uncircumcised Philistine think he is? Does he think he can speak against the armies of the living God?" The Israelites told David what would be done for the man who would kill Goliath. A lot of things are going to take place and happen. And David gets all excited. When David's oldest brother, this sounds like a sibling rivalry here. When David's oldest brother, Eliab, heard David talking with the soldiers, he was angry with David. And he asked David, "Why did you come here? Who's taking care of those few sheep of yours in the desert? I know you're proud and wicked at heart. You came down here just to watch the battle." But look at what David says. David asks, he says, "Now what have I done wrong? I just asked a question to begin with." And he gets attacked. He says, "Can I even talk?" And when he turned to the other people and asked the same questions, they gave him the same answers before. Yet what David said was told to Saul, and he sent for David. So David said to Saul, "Don't let anyone be discouraged. I, your servant, will go and fight this Philistine." I mean, David's got some passion about it. He's excited about this thing, and he wasn't backing down. He wasn't ready to walk away, to go back to his sheep in the desert. He wanted to do something because God's army was being defied by this Philistine. He had passion, and he wanted to be successful. Listen, passion involves your heart. Passion involves your heart. Have you ever heard that statement? Man, he's got a lot of heart. He's got a lot of heart. Well, see, if we're going to be passionate, when we're passionate about something, it involves our heart. That's what it takes to be successful, putting our heart into it. Matthew 22:37, it says, "Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and with all thy mind." He said, "I want you to love me passionately with all of your heart." And then secondly, if we're going to be successful, I want you to notice it takes persistence. It takes persistence, not just the one and done. The definition here on this word persistence means to continue steadfastly or firmly in some state, purpose, or course of action. To continue steadfastly, firmly in that specific purpose or course of action. And this is noted underneath it, especially in spite of opposition. It means keep going even when there's opposition, when it's difficult, when it's hard. He says persist, stay after it. If we're going to be successful, that's what we have to do. And it means keep going after it no matter what. We do it once, and then we do it again, and then we do it again, and then we do it again. Just like those coaches were yelling at that football team on that practice field so lovingly and kindly and patiently. Do it again and do it again. I remember one time when I played football when I was in Pee Wee League, you know, Pop Warner Football League down in Texas. And we had a coach by the name of Coach Patterson. And for whatever reason, one day we were going through these tackling dummy blocking drills. And so he had this dummy that you hold with two hands like this and it's shaped, oh, about that tall and little curve. And so he said, all right, I want you guys to run and hit this blocking dummy as hard as you can. And so I get up there, my turn, you know, and I go running up there. And oh, Coach Patterson, he just knocks me down. I was a little kid then, okay, so keep that in mind. I wasn't near as big as I am now. Well, actually, I was almost as big as I am now, but at least weight-wise, it wasn't a good thing. But so Coach Patterson, he hits me. He says, now get up and hit it again. And we had, I don't know, do you ever do this? You have them put their name tag on 2-inch tape across their forehead. We all had that, you know. And so he could see my name. He said, Renfro, get up, do it again. And so I run up there, and I hit that thing, and he knocks me down. He wasn't supposed to knock me down. He was supposed to just let the thing, you know, be hit it and so on and be, you know. But for whatever reason, he would just knock me down. And he said, now get up and hit it again. And so I got up and I hit it again. And he did that so many times that as a kid, I started crying. I was so mad. I was so angry. I just started weeping. And I got it. And I wanted to hit it. And I really wanted to hit him, not the dummy. But we kept doing that over and over and over. Because he wanted me to be successful. And so that's what it takes. Persistence. Do it again, even when we get knocked down. I want you to notice that persistence involves your habits. All right? Persistence involves your habits. The things that you persist at on a daily basis. The things you do daily. The habits that you form in your life. The habit of prayer, habit of kindness, the habit of love, the habit of gentleness, of gratitude, the habit of faith, the habit of forgiveness, the habit of a quiet time. All of these things that we do on a daily basis over and over, they involve our habits. This idea of persistence and doing it again and again and again involves our habits. They can define you and help determine who you are and who you become. The habits that we develop determine who we become eventually. And that's this idea of persistence, and success will only come as we pursue it and we persist at it. Bad habits lead to failure, where good habits can lead to success. I want you to look back in 1 Samuel there in 17. If you look down in verse number 38, still, of course, the same story. And in verse number 38, it says, Saul put his own clothes on David. He put a bronze helmet on his head and dressed him in armor. David put on Saul's sword and tried to walk around, but he was not used to all the armor Saul had put on him. Can you imagine this young man come in there, and the king, this grown man, is putting his armor on this boy, and he's saying, now, you okay? Go out and do that thing, you know, that you said you're going to do. And David's walking around and saying, dude, this doesn't fit. This is not going to work. This is not going to cut it. It says, and so he said to Saul, I can't go in this because I'm not used to it. There's no consistency there. See, there's no persistence. There's no habit. So what does he do? The Bible says that he took all of that stuff off, and he took a stick in his hand, and he chose 5 smooth stones from a stream. He put them in a shepherd's bag and grabbed his sling, and then he went to meet the Philistines. See, he got what he was used to. The habits that he had formed. He knew how to reach into that bag and put a stone in that sling and whip that thing around and to defeat an enemy. That was what he was used to. He was persistent with that. And that was a habit that he had developed. And so that's what he wanted to use. And let me just say to you that this idea of good habits or bad habits, being persistent involves our habits, and it can either make us a failure or success, both on and off the field, as it were. Psalm 17:15, one of my favorite verses, it says, As for me, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. That verse speaks so much hope to me, because there's the idea that someday I can be like Christ, but I'll only be satisfied when that happens. And the only way that's going to happen is if I am persistent and I make it a habit in my life. Only when we make a habit of it will it happen. Let me share with you the third thought that's going to, in order to be successful, not only does it take verse 2, it takes practice. It takes practice. This is something that's sort of a duh kind of a thing. But it's something that we need to do over and over. Practice, the definition of practice is this: a repeated performance or systematic exercise for the purpose of acquiring a skill or proficiency. In other words, if you want to be successful and you want to be proficient at it and you want to acquire this skill, then you're going to have to do some things. Systematically exercise over and over in order to make it happen. So that's what we're talking about. Practice. Practicing. Listen, I think, you know, I'm not a very smart guy. I don't ever claim to be. And, you know, in football and sports, there's always these great guys that make these great sayings. Vince Lombardi, those guys. You know, and I'm not putting myself right up there, but this one I think fits. I came up with this thought, and I think it is so powerful. Listen, you don't know what you know, you don't do what you do, and you don't achieve what you achieve without practice. Now, there's so much truth in that. So I have to say, I know it didn't come from me, it came from God, all right? So I didn't come up with it. But it's that you don't know what you know, and you don't do what you do, and you don't achieve what you achieve without practice. It doesn't become second nature, and it doesn't become an acquired skill, and it or you doesn't or don't become proficient without practice. Guys, we got to practice. If we want to be successful in our lives spiritually, it takes practice. If we want to be successful in our lives as fathers, as mothers, as parents, at our job, it takes practice. We have to do those things over and over and over. Practice involves your head. It involves your head. See, everybody, as I said, wants to play on game day, and everybody wants to perform in front of the crowd. See, we all like that part. We all like the limelight. Coach, have you ever come across players that they just want to play on game day? They don't want to put in the time, the practice, the effort? Yeah, because that's the hard part. That's the part that makes game day effective and makes it worthwhile. But everybody wants to do that. But the only thing that makes that possible is practice. And we all know that. And it's what you know, talking about our head, it's what we know that makes the difference. And this idea of being a success spiritually, I know that there are those who want me to fail. As a pastor, as a father, as a husband, as a minister, as all of these things, I know there are those that want me to fail. I know that there are principalities and powers against me. Scripture teaches us that. There's the principalities and powers of the air that are opposed to us. I know that Satan is against me. The Bible says that he is walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I know that there are those that oppose us and those that are against us. So I know, because of that, I know I have to be prepared. I have to be prepared. Look back at 1 Samuel again in chapter 17. This time at verse number 33. It's back in the story a little bit. But Saul answered, "You can't go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a boy. Goliath has been a warrior since he was a young man." But David said to Saul, "I, your servant, have been keeping my father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and took a sheep from the flock, I would chase it." How many of us here would go chasing after a lion and a bear? I don't even want to see them in the zoo when I know they're safely behind the glass. But he said when one would come in attack, he said, "I'd go after it." And it says, he said, "I would grab them by the hair." Dude, can you imagine? I don't know which would be worse, grabbing a lion or a bear. I really am not for sure. But he says, I would grab them and I would chase them and I would attack it and I would save the sheep from its mouth. When it attacked me, I caught it by its fur and hit it and killed it. I, your servant, have killed both a lion and a bear. Underline, score that and say, this is what I know, David said. I have done this. I have accomplished this. This is something that I know. And he says, because this, he says, this circumcised Philistine will be like them, that bear, that lion, because he has spoken against the armies of the living God. And the Lord, the Lord who saved me from a lion and a bear will save me from this Philistine. He said, this is what I know. This is what I know. And so, this idea of success involves what we know. And David says, I've been successful before with a lion and a bear. This is just some big giant Philistine. So I know I can be successful. This is what I'm going to do. There is no success without applying what I know. And when it comes to life, we have to apply what we know in order to be successful. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12 says, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know. I know who I've had believed in. I know who brings success in my life. I know with doing all of these things that we've talked about, we put them into practice and we follow them and we do them. I know whom I believe. And he'll take care of it. The fourth thing that it takes in our lives in order to be successful is it takes pursuit. Pursuit. That word pursuit means to strive, to gain. To strive, to gain, to seek, to attain, or accomplish. He says, I need to pursue. If we're going to be successful, we need to pursue. The idea is to go after and follow and pursue and overtake until we accomplish our goal, or in other words, until we succeed. That's how we're successful. We pursue, we go after, we stay after until we accomplish it. And I want you to notice something about this idea of pursuit. Pursuit involves your hunger. How hungry are you? Sometimes coaches will ask that teams, sports teams, how hungry are you? Are you hungry? You got to be hungrier than the other guy. You know that opponent you're facing on the line, or that person that you're opposed to or you're against? You got to be hungrier than he is. There's some commercials that were on a while back where a guy says, well, I know he's going to stay in the gym for such and such hours, so I've got to stay in the gym. He's going to run, or he's going to lift weights, or he's going to do something for such and such time, so I know that's what I've got. I've got to be hungrier than he is. And that's what we're talking about. To pursue, it involves our hunger. Let me ask you this. Have you ever been hungry for something, but you weren't exactly sure what it was? Have you ever had that? I mean, that something hits you, and it's like, man, you've got to have something in it. And it's either just a flavor or a taste or a texture or something. Some of that'll hit, and we will just tear the kitchen apart. I mean, we will eat everything. Even if we don't like it, we'll eat it to see if that's what it is that we're hungry for. Some of us will stay in there way too long doing that. Most of us will stay until we get it, and we will. We'll stay. You know, it always amazes me. You ever thought about this with the Olympic athletes? Man, they will sign up just like that to give another 4 years of their life to pursue that goal. They're going to pursue that gold medal. And immediately they'll just, yeah, I'm going to work at it for another 4 years. I think of that. It's like, man, you talk about it. The desire to be successful, just to give up another 4 years. And some of them have given up 4 years and 4 years and 4 years and four. Now, some have been successful along the way, but there are some of those guys out there, ladies out there, that they've been doing that for 4 years and 4 years, and they still haven't won. But the hunger is there, the pursuit to go after it. But that's what they do because of the hunger that they have to succeed. Well, what about us as Christ followers? Let's go back to 1 Samuel again, and if you drop down to verse number 48, it says, as Goliath came near to attack him, David ran quickly to meet. I love that. David's not out there, and all of a sudden Goliath starts coming, and he turns and runs or gets sheepish or hides behind a rock, or he thinks, man, you know, if I can get behind this big tree, then I can swing this stone and hit him, and he maybe can't. He's coming at him with a couple of spears. He's coming at him fully armored. He's certainly got him outweighed. He's got him hide. He's got there. And but David, he says when Goliath, it says he ran after him. I love it. He went after him. He pursued him. Are we like that in our Christ life? Are we like that as Christ followers? Look what Philippians chapter 3 verse says in Scripture. It says, I do not mean that I am already as God wants me to be. Paul is saying this. He said, I'm not there yet. I have not yet reached that goal, but I continue trying to reach it and make it mine. That's my desire. That's my goal. That's my hunger. Christ wants me to do that, which is the reason he made me his. Brothers and sisters, I know that I have not yet reached that goal, but there is one thing I always do, forgetting the past and straining toward what is ahead. I keep trying to reach the goal and get the prize for which God called me through Christ to life above. See, folks, that's pursuit. That's what he said here. I haven't got there. I'm not at the top of my game yet, but man, I want to be. And so I'm going to put everything else aside, and that's what I'm going to pursue. That's what I'm hungry for. That's my goal. And that's what Paul said it takes in his life to be successful, and that's what he saw as success. Let me share with you the last thought here. And after everything I've said of pursuit and going after and practicing, it sort of may sound odd, but listen to me. The fifth thing is, it takes patience. It takes patience. Let me read this to you, this definition. This is quietly and steadfastly persevering. It's having or showing the capacity for endurance. That's why we need patience. I'll be honest with you, Coach, I couldn't do what you do. Because if we're behind in the first quarter, I would lose it. I would be like, you guys get out there. I want every 72 of you on the field right now to beat up their 11 guys, and we're going to take this game back. And I would go nuts. But I've heard him tell times when it's like, yeah, we were behind. And boy, at halftime, we made some adjustments. We fixed some things. And patience. And you hear that, you know, players, coaches, they'll talk about that all the time. That, yeah, we held in there. Baseball players, you know, they'll talk about they'll be getting beat in the 7th, 8th, 9th, you know, all of a sudden, then we just hung in there. We had patience. And that's what it takes to be successful. It takes patience. The old joke goes, in order to be a doctor, you have to have patience. I said it's an old joke, so, all right. But the truth is, in order to be successful, you have to have patience. Patience involves your hope. That's why it's so important. To be successful, we have to have patience, and patience involves our hope. Patience is all about hope. Patiently waiting on the doctors, hoping to heal. Patiently waiting on the medicine, hoping to be cured. Patiently waiting on your spouse, hoping to be restored. Patiently praying to God, hoping to hear from heaven. Waiting for a wayward child to come back, hoping to be reunited. To be patient is to be hopeful. Look over there in 1 Samuel 17 again, and let's look at verse number 42. When Goliath looked at David and saw that he was only a boy, tanned and handsome, he looked down on David with disgust, and he said, do you think I am a dog that you come to me with a stick? He used his God's name to curse David. He said to David, come here, I'll feed your body to the birds of the air and the wild animals. David just patiently hanging out. David is cool. David said to him, you come to me using a sword and two spears, but I come to you in the name of the Lord all-powerful, the God of the armies of Israel. You have spoken against him, and today the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll kill you and cut off your head. Today I'll feed the bodies of the Philistine soldiers to the birds of the air and the wild animals. Then all of the world will know there's a God in Israel. David just patiently, right there, hanging in there, waiting. To be patient is to be hopeful. Let me give you another definition on this one, all right? Bearing provocation, which is what David was doing. It's bearing annoyances, bearing misfortune, bearing delay, bearing hardship. All of these things, pain, etc., with fortitude and calm, and I like this part, it's the part I start in my notes, without complaint, anger, or the like. I know some team members from coaches' college days. I did some work with one of them that he didn't like you, coach. Surprise, surprise, right? And so what did he do? He got angry and he quit. He didn't like hard work. He didn't like practice. He didn't like the hours that were needed to put in to be successful. So he became a, what's the thing where you throw the stick at the ball, the stick? Lacrosse, is that it? Is that what you guys say? You have that over there, right? That's what he joined. He didn't like your football team, so he went to the lacrosse team. You're not in charge of that, are you? I didn't think so. But see, he had no patience. He wasn't hoping to improve. He just gave up. See, we can't do that. It says bearing hardship and annoyance and provocation and so on without complaint or anger. That's what real patience is. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 3 says, my son, be strong. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And thou therefore, this is scripture saying to us, thou therefore endure hardness. Doesn't mean everything's going to be easy. Success doesn't come because it's easy. Success becomes of all of these other things that we're going to put into it. If it was easy, then everybody would do it, right? That's the saying. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Be patient and hope for a better outcome. And in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 says, the scripture gives us, I love this verse, the scripture gives us patience and encouragement so that we can have hope. It gives us patience and encouragement so that we can have hope. Patiently waiting on the Lord. Patiently knowing that it's going to come about. It's going to happen. We put all these things into place. See, if you're going to be successful, Brother Hale, you asked me several times, what do we take? This is it, all right? If we're going to be successful, it's going to take passion. Passion involves your heart. It's going to take persistence. Persistence involves our habits. Practice involves our head. Pursuit involves our hunger. And patience involves our hope. Let me share with you, if I could, this morning, what success looks like for me. Because I told you, that's the question I want you to answer. What does success look like for you? Well, today, specifically, success for me is to come here and share some truth from God's Word that will show somehow help you to make a difference in your life. That would be success for me today. How you live today and how you conduct yourselves from this day forward. That would look like success for me. Because I think success comes sometimes in different spurts in our life. When you look at David, the life of David, that story is all success. You look at other areas of his life, not so much. I look at my son being over there in, now all of a sudden I can't think of the name of him, but he's over there, all right? And I look at him over there, and for him, for these 2 months, Lebanon, that was success. They keep making fun of it because of Lebanon bologna. You ever heard of bologna? Said my kids, that's what they were saying. He was over in Lebanon bologna, but he's over there, and to him, that looks like success. So what is it that success looks like for you today? Let me read this to you. I'll close with this. In Titus, you'll find it in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 13. But let me read it to you. It says this, okay? It says, God's grace that can save everyone has come. That's a pretty good start. God's grace that can save everyone has come. It teaches us, God's grace, it teaches us not to live against God, nor to do the evil things the world wants us to do. But instead, that grace teaches us to live in the present age in a wise and right way, and in a way that shows that we serve God. He goes on and says, we should live like that while we wait. Speaking of patience. That's how we're supposed to live, while we are patiently waiting for Christ to return, waiting for Him to come back. He says, so that's the way that we should live. We should live like that while we wait for our great hope and the coming of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you want to be successful, folks, that's what it takes. That's what it takes. Our Heavenly Father, we love You today. What a privilege to be able to share with these folks. Appreciate them, this church, their pastor. And Lord, we appreciate Your word. Holy Spirit, we pray that You would just speak to our hearts. Lord, I think we all want to be successful. Different areas, different times of our life. We want to be successful. We want to succeed. And I believe that we want to succeed in the areas that matter most to You, but we need Your help. We need Your guidance, and we need the opportunity to put some of these things into practice. So I pray that You would help us to do that. And I pray that You would help us to be successful so that we'd be able to share with others and talk to others, and bring others, even as their sign says, to connect to You and to connect to others and to connect them to You. Lord, I pray that You would bless this church and these people. Help us to do what You'd have us to do to be successful. And we ask it in Your name. Amen.